Brave New World.
Hello and welcome to a Brave New World programme. My name's John Harrison. Welcome to 2018. Poland's Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki announced on the 9th of January a deep reshuffle of his administration's ministers before he met the head of the European Commission to discuss a judicial overhaul that has triggered the threat of European Union sanctions against Poland. The Commission called on all the other governments in the EU to start the unprecedented process of sanctioning Poland, which is an EU state that could lead to stripping the country of its voting rights in the EU government. But does the EU have the strength, power, and conviction to actually implement its intentions? And what exactly is going on in Poland right now? To talk about all these issues, I welcome to the program Magdalena Schmidt, a Polish lawyer and women's rights activist. Welcome to the program, Magdalena.
Welcome, John. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, how radical are these new cabinet appointments that have been announced now on the 9th of January by the new Prime Minister?
This reshuffling is quite recent indeed. So, yes, we just have to still adjust to all the changes that it may bring. But I am afraid that it will bring no changes, as I think it's just, you know, it's just puppets. They are changing the puppets. Mm-hmm. And it's still, no matter what puppet you will put on a stand and or call a minister, they will all have to leave Kaczyński.
Okay, but I mean, the fact that the previous defense minister has lost his job, you know, he was quite a controversial chap, wasn't he? And a lot of people protested against him, and he's, you know, very sort of ultra-Catholic and receiving support from the nationalist wing of the party, the Law and Justice Party. And also, you know, he's a man who is very much in favor of the 2010 air crash controversy and other things. I mean, the fact that he's gone, is that not a major step by the Polish government to say, well, look, okay, we're going to step back from the front line. We're going to be less controversial now.
Well, I do believe that they've just put all these changes into force, this deep reshuffling of the government into force just before the new reshuffled prime minister had to talk to European Commission's Juncker, and well, Macierewicz was quite controversial. You know, it might be too early to say whether the changes will come, and it might be just, you know, for showing the European Commission that they are following the Article 7 procedures that they are already being applied in a very early stadium, but still that it's there are things going on against Poland at the European Union level, and we cannot ignore them. So, you know, if you ask me, it's something that they just do it to show that they are listening to the EU.
So I take your point. You're saying that these new appointments are just, they're just shopfront window decorations. They don't really mean anything. But nevertheless, they did take place. I mean, halfway into its four-year term, the ruling Law and Justice Party in Poland, you know, enjoys a record support, as much as 50% of the voters. But at least half of those voters are not really so extreme. You know, they want the party to adopt some more middle-of-the-road line. Now, if Law and Justice Party wants to be re-elected in a couple of years' time, surely it's going to have to soften its approach.
That is true, but you have to consider in first whether the polls are to be trusted. I mean, according to the polls, let's talk about the US, Hillary would win. And let's talk about the UK. I do not think that Britain is happy about the Brexit, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's one. And in second, I don't know. I don't believe in this. All this reshuffling the whole time. I don't believe in. They reshuffle, and you have to really take into account the fact that this reshuffling takes place within one party. It's the whole time.
Understood.
Law and justice.
Understood. Now, I mean, there's the major question I think that the world would like to know is, can the EU do anything about this? Because it really only takes one country out of the bloc of 28 not to agree, and that country could well be Hungary, and the EU will not have the unanimous support that it needs to apply Article 7. So, in fact, perhaps there has already been an agreement reached between Poland and Hungary, and that really, you know, taking your argument, this is really just hot air. They know very well that the EU cannot apply Article 7 without unanimous support. So, in fact, has the Polish leadership won? That's my question to you.
You know, you've been talking about Article 7 and application of Article 7. First of all, it's never happened before.
Yeah.
So it's whatever will I say, it will be a prognosis on how it might end up. However, Article 7 is triggered, and it is a nuclear option within the EU, Article 7.
Yeah, but it can't be applied, though, surely. Article 7 cannot be applied without unanimous support of all the other countries. And if Hungary doesn't want to play the game, it cannot be applied. Is that correct or not?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's technically correct. And Viktor Orban has already said that he will not support the eventual application of Article 7 sanctions against Poland.
Mm.
But there have been implications within the EU to apply it also to the Hungary. And if you apply it simultaneously to both of the countries, we will be both stripped of the voting right, but none of us would be able to veto the application of Article 7. And I've talked to several people from the EU, and this idea is, well, they are daring this idea to apply it simultaneously to Poland and Hungary.
Yep.
Because it's such a technical, I don't want to go into technicalities because, I mean, it's who cares about, I mean, it's about the result, but technically, you can legally apply it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Let's take a short break here and carry on our conversation.
Brave New World.
Welcome back to Brave New World program. Today, I'm talking to Magdalena Schmitz, a Polish lawyer and women's rights activist, about the cabinet reshuffle in Poland, which has just taken place, and what this actually means, or actually doesn't mean. I mean, behind and beyond all these great debates and loud declarations is the money, isn't it? Because Poland receives quite a lot of money from the EU in the form of development grants and so on. About 13 billion was the figure in 2015, whereas Poland's contribution to the EU was all of 3.7 billion. You know, so there's about 10 billion euros in stake here per year. Now, how far can the Polish government go in sort of pushing the EU before the EU says, well, okay, look, we've had enough of you guys, you know, we're not going to give you any more money. We're not only going to take away your voting rights, but we're going to stop the money. Now, is this an important issue for the Polish leadership, or do they not care about that? Or will they somehow find the money from other sources?
Well, this is actually, I've been screaming for more than 2 years now that the EU funds should be cut, you know, and Poland should not be receiving anymore, because this is practically and factually the only way that actually can, you know, bring some results. But legally, you have to go through the Article 7 procedure, legally. But we know that in practice, what's legal and practice is practice.
Right. But you just said that Article 7 has been triggered. So we're only one step.
It's been triggered, yeah. Article 7.1.
Right.
Article 7 is quite long. I'm not gonna lecture on Article 7 because...
Well, just tell us in two words, because we don't know, want to know the hard going. Just tell us in a few words, can Article 7 be implemented or not?
Of course it can be implemented.
Mm-hmm.
It is being implemented as we speak. It's just that it takes a long time to be implemented.
Okay. Now, thank you very much. Thank you. I understand. So we're talking about 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, never?
I'd say 3 years.
3 years. Okay. Thank you.
How much you think of Brexit will take?
Yeah, that's a good question, isn't it? Yeah. At least three, in my humble opinion. Now, you just mentioned Brexit. Now, that's a very important issue, isn't it? Because the UK has said on a number of occasions that it actually really looks to Poland to establish a deep and meaningful trading arrangement with the country. And in a way, you could say that Brexit is, on a sort of ideological basis at least, support for Poland's independent stance against the EU and Hungary as well. I mean, we don't say that, of course, in our newspapers and our medias in the UK. But if you look at it analytically, you could argue that, in fact, our action in Britain are in support of some of the Polish accusations against the EU. Do you feel that in Poland or not? Do you feel that there is a sort of an unspoken feeling that the UK is actually supporting Poland in this?
There are some, I mean, you know, if you look, it's not only Poland, but we're talking about Poland at this moment, but Poland is, you know, it's just this national, this right-wing and nationalistic voice, that the populistic voice that tends to be, you know, heard in the wide world at this moment.
Yeah.
And that's also in Britain, but, you know, I've said this to you before. If you look at the society in Poland and in the UK, it's all very polarized.
Mm-hmm.
And you can apply all those measures and everything, but what you're going to do against the globalization? You're going to get out of the EU, get out of everything, and then what? Colonize the world again? What mm-hmm. are the options?
I think your idea of getting out of the EU and then colonizing the world again is one that some extreme Brexiteers would actually agree with. But anyway, let's move on. Now, how important is the position of Hungary in this debate? Because Viktor Orban is really heavily coming down on support of Poland. You know, he's saying things like it's unacceptable that Brussels is putting pressure on sovereign member states. I mean, this is unprecedented, isn't it? You have another EU country supporting another full member and directly contravening the party line within the EU. I mean, you're almost talking about fault lines now within a vast trading bloc that could lead to the breakup of the EU.
Well, let's hope not. And be very humble to accept any solution to the problem on the union, on the EU, at the EU level, to solve this polarization and all these problems. I do not think that Orban can break the union. I genuinely do not think so. And he's been, you know, he's been just going back and forth the whole time. He was very pro Kaczyński and pro Law and Justice Party, and then he wasn't, or he was, you know, slightly not as much pro, and you know, he's been going back and forth, and I do believe that only financial sanctions could be a solution. Well, you know, the proper way to apply financial sanctions is through, you know, application of 7, but yeah. You know, let's be honest, we all know that in Brussels things, you know, they just happen behind the doors. And you can just solve the budget cuts and everything without application of Article 7. And this is my opinion. This is just mine that I'm sure, you know, I'm not, but I think, you know, just through the other channels.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's quite an accusation you're making, that everything in the EU is done behind closed doors. I haven't actually heard that before, but I appreciate your openness and the fact that you've expressed your opinion, which actually is quite interesting, and I hope, listeners, you found it interesting to listen to. And just if we can try to resume, Magdalena, I would just say that what you're saying is that Article 7 quite likely will be now implemented, but it's going to take a long time. And in those 2 or 3 years, things could change again. So right now, this cabinet reshuffle and everything doesn't make an awful lot of difference. Is that what you're saying in just a few words?
Practically not yet, but the same goes for Brexit.
Thank you very much indeed, Magdalena Schmidt, a Polish lawyer and women's rights activist. And thank you very much, listeners. Tune in again next week. Goodbye.